This call is being recorded.
Hey, want to say that again?
Yeah, fuck the Browns.
No, stop it. They tried. They tried so hard.
Welcome once again, or maybe it's your first time. We don't know. You're the one listening. You tell us. I'm going to figure this out for you. This is the PODcast, Pride of Detroit, prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. You know where to find us. The PODcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and Stitcher, and probably some other weird name podcast platform that sounds vaguely kind of, never mind. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Adequate Host. Not at Adequate Host. Okay, and now I'm being adequate. At Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. Jeremy Reisman coming to us with a really shitty internet connection here at Detroit Online. He's the fearless leader. Hello, Jeremy.
Well, thanks for that amazing intro, Chris. I appreciate it. I'm doing great. The Lions won. I'm happy.
Cool. Lions win. Hooray. Yes, we're talking about that soon. But first, the third person we got to get in here. The one, the only, Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore P-O-D. And as we sit here watching Sunday Night Football, Flacco just threw an interception.
Well, thank you for inviting me on the podcast, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
You are always welcome here. I don't know how to invite you. This is kind of like your home, too.
Yeah, I have a room in the basement.
Pretty much, yeah. You just need a place to crash. We've got the couches able to fold out, and we've got a couple extra pillows.
Yeah, and I'll take those extra pillows and put them down the middle of the bed frame because there's a giant metal bar in the middle that resists any type of comfort that'd be available. We're talking about pull-out couches. That's how fun this game was.
Really is. Oh, okay. Lions win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 24-21. But, I mean, I don't know. Hard for me to get charged up over this one. What'd you guys feel about this? Because I'll just use one word in my mind, just sloppy. This game was really, really, really sloppy. Stafford somehow stood upright the entire time. The offensive line actually held up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but there were so many turnovers. So many weird things going on with this game. And just in general, we're going to talk about the playoff picture later. This game might just not get us places. And I know people want us to be fairly positive. We're going to try to be positive. But I want to know your initial thoughts on this game. Jeremy, let's see how your internet's holding up. What can you tell us? What do you think about this?
I don't think I learned anything new in this game. I think that's my main takeaway. This looked like the Lions team that we've kind of seen over the past month and a half. They won. That's one slight difference, but we saw the same issues. The Lions couldn't stop the run. Tampa Bay rushed for 130 plus yards, 480 to carry.
And their rushing rank offense, like by Football Outsiders, is really bad.
Yeah. Their pass offense also was pretty successful. If there's one surprising thing I took from this game, it was how big of a cushion that the Lions secondary gave those Tampa receivers. It seemed like they were just kind of chipping away at the Lions 10 yards here, 10 yards there. Just, I mean, there's no way the Lions win this game if it weren't for the 5 turnovers. And you can't just say, you know, they got lucky and they lucked into those 5 turnovers. Quandre Diggs had a fantastic game. Forced one turnover with the interception, forced another with a huge hit on the forced fumble, and then, in my opinion, had a second interception that was overturned. But defense was definitely frustrating in this game against a Tampa team that had come into this game being accused of being incredibly predictable. And the Lions apparently could not predict what was going to happen. And then offense, same type of thing. Matthew Stafford wheeling and dealing, no running game.
Well, going back to the Football Outsiders numbers, Tampa Bay was 31st in pass defense coming into this game. So take there where you want. 22nd in rushing defense.
So this was not a great defense. This is one of the worst defenses in the league, I think, that you were kind of, I don't have the main numbers in front of me, like the stat numbers, but stat numbers, Chris, box score numbers. Okay, fine. I'm being really adequate right now. Ryan, what's your thoughts on the game? First blush.
Whoop-de-doo, Basil. What does it all mean? No.
What? Here's
a big takeaway. I mean, I mostly agree with everything that Jeremy said. You know, I don't think we learned a whole lot more. Nothing became clear from this game. Like, the Lions are still the pig in lipstick, okay? But here's the thing that kind of, as I've sat on it a little bit more, it's kind of rubbed me the wrong way. The Lions forced 5 turnovers and won by 3 points.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
I mean, granted, they turned the ball over 3 times themselves, but if you force 5 turnovers, you better win a football game by more than 3 points.
By a last minute Prater from God kick for you. That seems to be the tale of the season. Just screw stuff up. Prater will bail you out.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody brought it up on our Facebook Live, and I'm sorry, I can't give you the correct attribution. So I'll just commandeer it and take it for my own. But, you know, the Lions defense, this has kind of been their MO. You know, when they're able to force turnovers, when, you know, when they're able to take the ball away from the other team, that's really the only way that they can prevent the team from putting up points. So the Lions were able to do that on 5 of the Buccaneers' possessions. You know, aside from that, I don't think the Bucs punted more than what, twice?
I think it was 3 times total.
Okay. All right. Probably I probably can't remember the exact number because I never want to see TJ Jones field another punt in my entire life. I miss you so much, Jamal.
They punted 3 times. Once in the second half, twice in the first.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the Lions defense, and that's the difference between the Lions defense from last year and the Lions defense to this year. Like, the Lions defense, I don't know. It's an improvement that they're able to force turnovers for sure. Like, you know, there's definitely a skill to this. I've talked about this plenty of times. There's definitely a skill in your ability to get to the ball quick, like Quandre Diggs forcing fumbles. You know, Darius Slay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say just to your point from last year, I think they were one of the last in the league in takeaways last year. It's obviously something they've worked on.
And they were very careful with the ball last year too. So, I mean, their turnover differential wasn't anything to write home about. This year though, I mean, the Lions are still turning the ball over like an awful lot. Like I talked about this with Jeremy in the pregame, but like Stafford's fumbled the football 11 times this year. 12 is the most that he's ever had in a season. I think that was 2013, but you know, the Lions defense hasn't really made any remarkable improvements from last year. It's just that they've kind of, you know, I guess gained this knack or this ability to force turnovers. And, you know, even though they did it a bunch today, coming away with a 3-point win on, like you said, a Prater field goal in the last minute. Okay. Sweet. Playoff hopes continue. Get to look forward to next week. Well, I would look forward to next week anyways, right? We all should.
Yeah. We own the Bears. We should.
Hashtag week.
That's right. But let me go to your point about the defense forcing turnovers, because while that was the narrative to start the season, that kind of died out. The Lions had only forced 2 interceptions after the bye week going into this game. So that's what, 5-6 games where the Lions only had 2 interceptions, and they weren't really forcing too many fumbles either.
No, but if you think about the Cleveland game, that's the way that they got back into the game, was the fumble return for the touchdown.
True. But this in a way was a breakout game. Not only had they not forced 5 turnovers in a game this season, forced 5 in the past, since the 5 total since that Steelers game. So Steelers, Packers, Browns, Bears, Vikings, Ravens. 6 game, 5 total forced turnovers, and then 5 alone today. So it was starting to get to a point where it did last year, right? where the Lions finished with, I think it was four or five straight games with no forced turnovers. It was starting to look like that again, and maybe that's why the Lions have been losing so much recently. So if there's a turnaround that happened in this game, it's that they forced a lot more turnovers than they had been in the past month. And while I want to take that as optimism, I'm more of the camp that turnovers are largely random and you're not always going to catch Jameis Winston in such a bad game, or you're not going to get lucky enough for Doug Martin to fumble opportune time. So in large, like I said, I ranged on my feelings about this Lions team. They're still not very good. Their defense is still very bad. Their pass offense still very good, but Matthew Stafford again a little careless with the ball today. So yeah, this is just a really mediocre team.
Yeah, I totally get if you want to be excited about winning, because I mean I was excited about winning. It's always good to win, but at the same time too, it's really hard to look at this season right now and think again that this is some miraculous push. Because are we going to do this again? We're going to say, hey, the Lions need to run the table. You know, Lions just need to run the table. It's a very easy task for them to do, Ryan Matthews. Just run the table. Run the table, and you can get right there. You need to be just a little bit of luck and run the table to get in. Suddenly you're in a wild card. Yeah. No, it's not. And the sooner we come to terms with that, I think the better off we're going to be. It's time to just evaluate this team for what it is, which admittedly has been really hard to do. But I think, as you guys have said, like, we have kind of a clear picture of what this Lions team is. Ryan, I think you used the term, you know, pig in lipstick. But it's a flawed team. It has some unique strengths that just don't seem to be being utilized properly. And I think we should just start tackling the question of what can this team really do, and what does it need to evaluate to get ready for next season? And again, I know we're still in the wild card hunt, but I hate to slam the door on it. But that just feels what it was when I was watching this game. It's like, okay. And we're going to talk about it here next segment. Like, okay, Abdullah is benched. What does that mean? Where are we going with the run game? And to his credit, we've done this before, and I hate to go back to him as the main back. Theoretic, he had a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, two.
Two rushing touchdowns. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. No, Chris, spiritually, I'm there with you. Like, I'm ready to kind of, like, every time I watch the team, when, you know, even going back to the probably the second half of the Ravens game last week, and then especially this game against Tampa Bay, just watching the team and being like, okay, so, like, what needs, like, what should get, like, the most treatment in the offseason? Like, who are the guys that the Lions will be able to depend on? And, like, Jeremy and I kind of talked about in the post game, you know, talking about Quandre Diggs playing safety. Maybe that might be something viable that he does in the future. Maybe he's not only a nickel corner, he's shown the ability to, you know, hit pretty hard, and, you know, he's shown an ability to blitz from the safety position, interceptions, you know, forcing turnovers. That's definitely what you want out of your safeties. So, I mean, I kind of have that frame of mind, but at the same time, it's like, I just want to hold off on talking about the offseason until we get there, because we know it's so darn long. Like, I know you get it too. So,
yeah, totally understand. Look, I want to play Africa three more times this season, maybe more. But I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to figure out where my mind should be when I watch the Lions take the field on Sunday. Because I don't. We want to be positive. I want to see the team win. But I also don't want to get myself in a lather about unrealistic expectations.
We should talk about this more during the playoff spot. But do you really think it's that unrealistic for the Lions to beat the Bears next week?
Sorry, I don't know what's being recorded. This is always tricky when we have Jeremy's bad internet, because I don't know what gets recorded well and what doesn't. So I think he just said something about the Bears next week.
Yeah, like,
do you think it's unrealistic? Do you think it's unrealistic for the Lions to beat the Bears next week?
No, I don't. I don't. But at the same time, like this, we had to help. The Lions had to hold on by the skin of their teeth in Soldier Field, and the Bears have had a they've looked dangerous on the road too. For some reason, they play worse at Soldier Field than they do on the road. But
I'm just saying, looking at the schedule and looking at these games individually, the Lions could win all three. That's all I'm going to say until
okay,
we get.
I just either hope a bunch more teams in the NFC, like they win and take it out of the hands, or we lose to the Bengals. Cause God help us if Aaron Rodgers comes back and there's on New Year's Eve. Once again, we've been talking about it all goddamn year long. And if it comes to pass, I will do something just foolish. Make up my bet for me.
It's New Year's Eve anyway. So it's time to do things that are foolish as you get ready to bring in the new year. So
yeah, but like psychically destructive.
Oh yeah, I totally get it. But Jeremy, I'm right there with you. I mean, I don't see why the Lions can't beat the Bears at home. And you know, Cincinnati's just not good. They're a bad football team too. I know that game's going to be on the road, so you know, who knows? Maybe it could be. I mean, maybe it could be a snow fest like that game in Buffalo was today.
Just in general, weird things happen at Paul Brown.
Please no.
Too.
Please yeah. No.
No. So, I mean, yeah, we can get into the playoff things, but I think the one thing that's kind of different about the season and kind of like the one umbrage that I've taken with fans who, and I always get upset with this when the fans start to root for losses rather than wins. The Lions were just in a completely different situation last year. Like, and I remember there were fans on Twitter that wanted the Lions to lose out once Stafford got hurt, because they knew that the Packers were coming back and they knew that they would be there and that the Sunday night game would be for the division and all of this stuff. And they still wanted the Lions to lose so that they could get a better draft pick. All of these reasons that we hear, because they want Caldwell fired. They don't want, you know, a playoff berth to save his job.
Oh, good. Wow. Moving up three fucking spots in the draft. Wow. Yeah. I really want to root for this team to lose to do that.
Like, I'm still going to watch them. I still want them to win games. And I don't think that that's mutually exclusive. Like, Caldwell, say the Lions do make the playoffs this season. If they go into the playoffs and they get railroaded by some, I don't know, any team that they face in the first round.
Carolina.
Yeah, okay. Whoever it may be, Carolina. They go to Carolina and they get the brakes beat off them. They just get spanked. Do you think that Jim Caldwell's job is safe? I think from the report today, we haven't talked about it at all, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it here in a second. But
yeah, we're going to talk about that next, along with Amir Abdullah. Yeah.
I mean, Jim Caldwell's job is not certain. Like, it's not certain that he's going to be the coach next season. It's in ink, but that ink can dry up real quick.
On that note, let's dry the ink up on this segment and move on to That's talking perfect. About those particular. Yeah, thank you. We're taking a break and we're talking about Jim Caldwell's contract. Interesting new details that just surfaced before the game. And also the fact that I noticed this. I was more than adequate today. And I noticed it before we began that Amir Abdullah did not play because he was benched. It was not me saying, wow, he wasn't really in there on the box score. He was
ghost. The ghost in the box score.
I know what's going on. Let's take a break. We'll come back talking about Caldwell and Abdullah. Pride to Detroit podcast. That's what you're listening to. It's round two here. Ryan, Jeremy, where do we want to start?
Let's talk Caldwell.
Okay, so news came out before the game today that I believe Caldwell's contract extension, which had been talked about, but we hadn't gotten many details about, apparently, like, it's only for one more year. Is that right? So he'd basically have his contract guaranteed until the end of the 2018 season?
That's right, with an option to sign him to the 2019. Whereas before, it had been reported as a multi-year deal. Essentially,
technically multi-year, but yeah.
But not really. So, I mean, the big news is essentially the Lions aren't going to be on the hook for as much money if they decide to fire Caldwell, which is huge. That's huge news. Because I think, and not only that, I think when you hear multi-year extension for Jim Caldwell, you're like, wow, Bob Quinn has faith in Jim Caldwell. You hear 1 year extension for Jim Caldwell from Bob Quinn, suddenly it's a different story.
Hey, also the time in which you hear it, when you hear that it's right. just a 1 year extension before the game that you need to win to stay in the playoff hunt. Oh, okay. Now I see what's going on.
Yeah. There's,
I mean, the timing of both announcements were really interesting. Like, the leak happens when the Lions are 2-0, that multi-year extension for Jim Caldwell. And then as the Lions are teetering and kicked out of the playoff race, Jim Caldwell only has a 1 year extension. It's really interesting how that happens.
I don't know what's going to happen with this team over the offseason. And that's scary for me to say because, I mean, one of the things we talked about last offseason was about when Stafford was inked the deal, that and why we supported Caldwell coming in here was that, you know, Stafford's been under way too many offensive coordinators, way too many different head coaches, and that's a bad thing. Now, granted, I think we can also say that Stafford is now who he is going to be as a quarterback. So that's a little bit moot, but still, I don't know what's going to happen with the staff. I really don't. And I think Lions fans, as much as they're happy to throw the bums out and see what, you know, the bright future of untested head coaches probably coming from some offensive or defensive coordinator somewhere in the league, I don't know if I really want that future either. But at the same time, too, it's clear that just whatever is going on with this team, like, there's problems with this coaching staff.
I mean, for sure there are. I think, Jeremy, do you want to talk about, do you want to talk about the specific problems that you had with play calling? Because you did mention that this was one of the worst games, you said, in terms of play calling that you've seen all year.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think most of the fan base, from what I've seen, were largely unimpressed by this game. And, you know, there are some people out there that said, you know, this is further proof that the Lions need to fire Caldwell and the staff. And I have a hard time disagreeing. I mean, I'm not fully in the fire Jim Caldwell thing yet, but as good as the game plan was to focus on getting Theo Riddick in space and throw into Eric Ebron, who I don't even know how we managed to not talk about him yet. That was a good game plan to start. But I mean, you look at the situational play calling on offense, the third and ones, the two third and ones that we were waiting for disaster to happen, and disaster struck because they decided to throw a toss to Teon Green, who is not a speedy guy and looked like he had never run the ball out of the hash mark in his life. And then on an even bigger third and one at the very end of the game, you run an outside stretch run to Zach Zenner, who is also not a speedy guy and not a guy you really want testing the edges of a defense. And I mean, he's had 13 games to adjust to this problem. He's had 13 games to figure out a way to fix this Lions third and one conundrum. It's not that hard. If you look at the stats of how bad the Lions are at third and one, it's phenomenal.
Okay, after that mess right there, you just heard some static and me. What you didn't hear was me yelling at Jeremy for about 30 minutes. Now we have him on the phone because his connection is really bad. And we're just going to blame it on the fires in California right now. Jeremy is now with us on the phone.
Hi, guys.
So anyway, Jeremy, you were saying the Lions are 31st in stopping third and short. I mean, getting third and short converted.
Yeah, third and two or less, running the ball, the Lions are converting like 29% of the time, which is 10% worse than the worst team in the NFL, and it's about 30% worse than the NFL average. Jim Bob Cooter has had 12 games to figure this shit out, and he hasn't, and it's unbelievable that they're still trying the most boneheaded plays, mind you, on third and one. They're trying to be like smart and quirky by running Teon Green outside when just get the job done. It's not hard for 99% of the league. Get it done.
Yeah, so, you just have to wonder, too, though, with all the changes that they made to the offensive line, I mean, the guys that they did add, like Lang, and I know Rick Wagner didn't play today, but you just have to wonder, like, are these guys just not the type of guys? I mean, I don't want to use a cliche, but they're not the type of, what do they call them? Like maulers? I don't know.
Yeah.
Draft people use these weird descriptors, but like, you know,
really
the type
with the draft Twitter right now. So
right. Up. But yeah. So, I mean, like they just don't have the type of guys who, you know, they can do that. They can't line up their offensive line and say, okay, you guys, you know, make a path for 2 yards for our running back to get through. Like maybe the Lions just don't have those guys on their roster. I don't know.
Well, what were we going to say about the defense too, when it comes to I don't know what, like, yeah, the turnovers, Ryan saved the day here, but I saw people openly calling for Terrell Austin's job too. Like there's, again, for some, whatever reason, like this Patriot, as you're saying, Patriots, Buccaneers offense is entirely predictable. And for some reason, just the Lions seemed baffled by some of the most basic goddamn plays in the world.
That they did. I mean, if you're just now getting upset about Terrell Austin's defense, where were you the past like 3 weeks?
Seriously.
So
that's 2 years. It's been the same problem since the beginning of the 2016 season.
Literally since Ndamukong Suh left.
Pretty much.
I wasn't about to go ham like that, but yeah. I mean, if you want to...
I mean, that's the argument that everyone has about getting rid of this coaching staff, is that this team is plateaued. And you can say what you will about the talent level being low, but good coaches at least show some sort of adaptation or improvement. But these... the 2016 and 2017 Lions are almost identical to me, to be honest. There's not a lot of difference.
Yeah, I mean, I would say 2016 Stafford was probably playing a little better. And yeah, that's really about the main difference right there, is like a 5% better Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. And I mean, is that not the best argument to make a change? I mean, the team is plateaued. Like I said, I'm not quite there yet. I'm willing to wait out the rest of the season, because I do think, unlike last week, that there is a minor chance that they make the playoffs, and we'll get a little bit more into that next segment. But I mean, if this team isn't showing improvement, I don't care what arguments you make about the personnel, because the problems are the same, and that's not acceptable.
All right. Well, we are going to talk about the personnel here. Now that we're got our technical issues out of the way, let's talk about Ameer Abdullah, who did not start this game for running back. What were exactly the specifics? Like, what was going on? Because he did play in this game, but he absolutely did not have yards.
Nope.
I think he actually had what?
Nope. Stop. He did not.
Oh,
play.
I had the wrong. Yes. Okay. Adequate. I did not have the right box score up. I was looking at an older box score. He did not play at all.
This is a bit. This is not real.
No, this was not a bit.
No, this is a bit.
Bears, I had the Lions Bears box score up when I was looking.
I refuse to believe that, Chris.
That's not even last game. What are you doing?
That's not even the last game.
3 weeks.
Because we were talking about the Bears in last.
This is a bit.
No, it's not a fucking bit. I would tell you if it's a bit.
This is a bit.
Theo Riddick, 10 carries, 29 yards.
18 of them came on one play.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, here's the news. Ameer Abdullah, who was reportedly healthy enough to play, according to Ian Rappaport and Dave Burkett, was a healthy scratch. Inactive. So even if Theo Riddick goes down in this game, Ameer Abdullah is not coming off the bench because he is inactive. That is shocking to me. That is very shocking to me. And to me, it's not a move that Jim Caldwell would typically make, because this team is still in the playoff hunt. Ameer Abdullah is a better runner than Zach Zenner. I'm sorry. He is. He's a better running back. So the Lions are choosing not to put their best front foot forward in this game by not dressing their best players. And that is shocking to me. And that does not seem like a Jim Caldwell move. That sounds like maybe it's a Bob Quinn move. Maybe he's kind of seeing the writing on the wall and realizing that we got to start seeing what we have in Tyon Green, or we got to see, you know, what this team can do without Ameer Abdullah, because I think right now Ameer Abdullah's future is very much in question with this team after this move. I don't know if they're not thinking about moving on from Ameer Abdullah, I don't know why you make this move today. And I was shocked by it.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this before. Will the Lions draft another running back or whatever? But this seems like the door being closed on any talk about Abdullah being considered the top of this running back pile. There's just no real way ahead of it. And I mean, Tyon Green, I still don't see it. Like, I know he had a great run that was wiped out by a holding call, but I thought when he made that run, he was also massively the beneficiary of that holding that done by, I think Corey Robinson was called on that. There was a lot of holding calls against this line today, but that, on that particular one, Corey Robinson had a blatant hold and Tyon Green became the recipient of it. But I mean, I said it last Rage Corner, Tyon Green ain't going to save you. So but at the same time, I don't think Amir Abdullah is saving you either. And I don't know, we just got done trashing the coaching staff, but now we're saying that they were right to sit down Amir Abdullah. Where do you take this, Ryan?
Well, I take this back to the beginning of November. And after the Lions game against the Steelers, Amir Abdullah talked about getting a bigger workload. And that was the game where it became pretty well documented that the Lions were struggling to score in the red zone. And that was the big takeaway from that game. And Amir Abdullah came out and said, I can handle goal line carries. Like, let me run the ball. He said, quote, I feel like I'm a good player and I wouldn't be standing in front of you guys if I didn't bring something to the table. Well, apparently Amir Abdullah, either this coaching staff or the front office or some combination of the two, today they thought you would bring nothing to the table. So they literally left you on the sideline in street clothes. And I find it a little bit precarious that I'm just remembering these quotes. And, you know, Abdullah said, I'm never going to tell the coaches what to do. I mean, their job is to design to put us in the best situations. My job is to execute under any circumstance. Well, to be honest, Amir Abdullah, I know that you haven't been getting the best run blocking in front of you. I don't think anybody's going to ever make that argument that the Lions are a good run blocking team or that their scheme necessarily works either. But you've put the apparently you've put the team in such a position that they left you undressed today. So I truly don't know where you go from here. I know that, Jeremy, I agree with you. I think that Amir Abdullah is the best running back on the team. This was the biggest piece of news. Like, I know the Caldwell stuff was really interesting to hear, to finally get details on his contract, but to hear that Amir Abdullah was going to be an inactive, and my mind immediately going to, oh, they're going to have Zach Zenner play instead of Amir Abdullah. That kind of blew my mind. Like, that put Amir Abdullah in place to me. You know, Jeremy, he talked about how, you know, the Lions can part ways with Amir Abdullah for relatively cheap. They don't have to run with Amir Abdullah next year. They can move on to the next thing. And I truly think that the Lions are, I think that they're going to make running back a priority in the draft and or free agency. I don't know. Either one of the two, but I something's got to happen. Something's got to give.
Here's my question. And let me also say that Jim Caldwell said after the game that Abdullah is, quote, still nursing an injury, unquote. So there is a little bit of haziness with the reports from Rappaport and Burkett. But my question is, does Abdullah play another game with the Lions this year? Does he dress in another game for the Lions in these final three games, assuming there's no injuries?
Well, I would hope so after that Jim Caldwell quote.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Jim Caldwell saying that makes it sound like we decided to err on the side of caution and not play Amir Abdullah because he's still nursing some kind of neck injury.
I feel like that's almost a bit of a cover, but I think I'm there with you. Yeah. Like, well, we haven't seen the last of Amir Abdullah.
I mean, it can definitely be a little bit of both, right? Like, Abdullah probably was healthy enough to play, but they were confident enough or curious enough to want Tyon Green out there, want Theo Riddick out there a little more. I mean, obviously their game plan today had a lot to do with Theo Riddick, period. So maybe they're like, you know what? We think Theo Riddick's a really good matchup in this game. Let's give Amir another week.
But, and well, I totally agree with you, Jeremy, but counterpoint to that, and I don't know if the Lions value him the same way. I feel like Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick are so comparable. Like, I feel like that they can do the same things. So, like, and I know that, I know for a verifiable, objective fact that Ameer Abdullah is the better runner of the two. Like, Ameer Abdullah is a better running back, pure runner, than Theo Riddick. Right. So, like, having Ameer Abdullah in the game at least gives the defense some sense that, oh, they could run or they could throw. Like, I don't know. Don't you feel the all same right. way?
Yeah, and I think we put to bed, like, although, well, Theo Riddick's averaging four some McCarry out of the bye week. Ameer's only doing whatsoever. Last two games, Ameer Abdullah, 2.3 yards per carry average against the Ravens, 2.9 today against the Bucs. That's all you need to know. I don't care about the two touchdowns.
Yeah, let's take the break here. I think we can just leave this all to bed real here. Just smother it with a pillow and move on. We're going to talk. I hate to do it, but we're going to do some playoff talk.
Playoffs?
We got to do that in honor of my man Herm, his new job at Arizona State. I wish we had audio from that press conference. Probably the greatest thing in my life. But no. We'll be right back. Playoff talk, baby. We should have our own drop. Every time we talk about playoffs, we need its own theme. Do you think so, Ryan?
I'd be on board with that.
Okay. Maybe I'll work on it on the off season or something. Playoff talk. Okay. In the division, no favors were done. We can talk a little bit about Browns Packers. I say a little bit because if I don't say that, Ryan will go the whole segment trashing the Browns for losing in overtime to the Packers.
Wait a second. No favors were done. The Vikings could have clinched the division this week and they didn't. Lions are still in this, baby.
Shut the fuck up. Seriously, shut the fuck up.
Vikings lose out, Lions win out. NFC North champions for the first time, baby.
I hate when you drop you from this call. I will drop you from this call.
I hate when you talk.
I mean, this is the small thing to offer when looking around for the rest of the wild card picture, but the Packers have the same record now as the Detroit Lions, and we can all thank the Cleveland Browns for that. Ryan?
This is why I was trying to put the positive spin on all this, because I don't need Aaron Rodgers in my life right now.
I don't want to think psychically about the New Year's Eve game, but you know what's also good? That sweet death of oblivion closing in on you as the Cowboys trash up the New York Giants, who, hey, look, it's Eli Manning again. Cool. 30-10 Cowboys. Now back in this hunt.
Hey,
Falcons.
I want to say real quick, my favorite thing about the Giants game was that Eli Manning, when he came out for his first drive, he came back onto the field to a standing ovation from the crowd at MetLife. And then on the very first play from scrimmage, Orleans Darkwa fumbled the football.
That's his entire career right there, and I love it.
Hey, but the thing is, too, the Giants recovered the fumble, so it truly is the most like Eli Manning thing ever. It's like, I fucked up, but I we're still in it.
Everyone else bailed me out. We're good. Okay, well, you know what? Hey, Jeremy, you wanted to talk about, hey, the Vikings in a clinch today. Well, you know what happened? The Panthers beat them. And that means another game up for the Panthers in this wild card hunt. Meanwhile, the Falcons won on Thursday, which means we could potentially see three NFC South teams in this playoff.
Nobody
and all
wants
three
that.
All three are ahead of the Detroit Lions.
And all three of those teams beat the Detroit Lions.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm here to say, forget about the Panthers. They're ahead of us. They're two games ahead of us, plus the tiebreaker. They're done. Okay, they got their playoff spot. Congratulations,
the Saints are ahead of us, too. I don't know where you're going with this. Well,
they're a division winner. Let the teams have it too. You know what? Saints, Panthers, good job. You made the playoffs. Falcons, Seahawks, those are the two teams that every Lions fan should be focused on right now. Because the Falcons are only a game ahead. Granted, they essentially two games ahead with the tiebreaker, and they also have a really good conference record. But Falcons have at Buccaneers next week. Sure, let's give them a win there. At Saints, I don't know. Versus Panthers, like I said, Panthers are already in the playoffs. Give the Panthers that win. Now the Falcons have lost two games. They're 9-7. Boom, Lions ahead of them. Seahawks are even easier because the Lions can have the tiebreaker over the Seahawks, and they're only a game behind the Seahawks now that they lost to the Jaguars. So Seahawks, if the Lions win out, they just need to go 3-0 to the Seahawks 2-1. Seahawks have Rams, Cowboys, Cardinals. None of those games are gimme. Rams is going to be tough next week. Boom, Lions in the playoffs.
Well, you forgot the fact that you're going to have Cowboys Seahawks on there. And again, the Cowboys aren't completely eliminated from this.
They are if the Lions go undefeated, baby. Lions, Cowboys can't catch them. Packers can't catch them if they win out. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, hold on. Can we let's talk about this for a second. Hold on. So
seriously, please.
So you don't think that the Panthers are even worth thinking about at this point?
No. I mean, why bother? Give them the playoff spot.
So you definitely. So are we rooting for the Panthers next week against the Pack? Or wait, are we rooting for the Panthers against the Packers next week?
Mind you, too, that the Panthers get to finish the year against the Falcons. So that means one of those two teams is going to get a game out of it.
And so, yeah, if you want the Panthers to still be in the picture, sure, have them lose as many games so that it doesn't matter. Like, as long as one of those teams loses, the Week 17 matchup, it benefits the Lions. I think at this point, most realistically, the only way the Lions catch either one of those teams is the Falcons lose two, rather than the Panthers losing essentially three, all three.
Right. Okay. So
I just want the pain to end so it doesn't have to come from Aaron Rodgers.
Well, here's my thought process. Wait, so Jeremy, if the Panthers lose two of their next three, the Lions can't catch them?
I don't believe so. I'd have to do a little bit of. They might, because the Panthers, they only have a 5-4 conference record. But they lost the head to head. So yeah, no. They need to lose all three.
Okay.
Unless the only other way is if the Panthers, the Lions, and the Seahawks all finish 10-6. Because then head to head is out the window. And conference record would take priority, and the Lions would have a better conference record.
I can't do this. I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't, because it's just the ravings. We are all just maddened scryers staring at goat entrails. And
what do you want me to do? Do you want me to start doing mock drafts? I will not go mock drafts.
No. But I do not also want to. I do not also want to take this choose your own adventure, which leads us down a path where we're going to take the wrong page, and suddenly it's, hey, look, it's Aaron Rodgers on New Year's Eve. I think there are more dignified deaths, more deaths that will just be far, far less painful than playing for a wild card on New Year's Eve against a vindicative Aaron Rodgers and his dumb fucking dog and his dumb fucking truck.
Let me tell you who I'm rooting for more than anything from here on out. I'm rooting for every single team against the Packers. I don't care if the Lions win another game. I hope they win all of them. But if they don't, oh well. The thing that will bring me the most joy is the Packers not making the playoffs.
Seriously, like that's the other thing. Like, I just, maybe if the Packers lose like the next two games, my psychic pain will die down. But it still could potentially just be that might just be worse than that. Might just be the Packers trying to spoil you.
I mean, okay, you want me to be real for a minute. That was fun for a second, but let me be real. Neither the Lions nor the Packers are going to win their next two games. Both of them are going to be out of it essentially by their week 17 game. I think the Lions could win their next two. I don't think they will because they're playing.
Will you promise me that? Will you promise me that?
And the Packers have at Panthers next week and against the Vikings Sunday Night Football in Lambeau the next week. They're not going to win both those games. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is back. They're not going to win both those games.
Wait, hey.
And the Lions.
If I was going to ask you, if the Vikings lose out, though, and the Lions win out,
can
we not?
I'm just saying, man. Who do the Vikings play next week?
The Vikings, I think they have a tough one next week. No, Bengals. Home Bengals at Packers versus Bears. It's not happening.
Hey.
You people make
don't even play with those thoughts.
Never say never, baby. Lions coming for that crown.
Woo!
Woo! Whole playoff game.
One out, Chris. It's 2-1.
We're back to where we were. The Lions were 3-1. They just beat the Vikings. NFC North title, baby. No excuses. Aaron Rodgers injured.
What was this year about? What have we accomplished this year? And the answer I ask that to the void every day. What have we learned about the Detroit Lions this year? What have we learned about who this team is, where we're going, anything? Ooh. What have we learned? What have we, the Pride of Detroit people, learned? And the answer is, after the 10 minutes in this segment, not a goddamn thing.
No. Pick me. I know the answer.
What is the answer, Ryan? You can't say very carefully. It's not phrased in the means to say very carefully. What have we learned?
The Lions will attempt to establish the running game with a different starting running back next season.
Points for effort. Points for effort to try to shove that in there. Thank you.
You know how I did that? You know how I did that, Jeremy? You know how I did that, Jeremy and Chris? Do you know how I did that?
How'd you do
very
it?
Carefully?
No, God damn it, I almost stepped in it.
You did step in it.
I stepped in it like dog shit outside of the fucking big baller store.
Stop looking for meaning in things, Chris. There's no meaning to Lions football. Lions football doesn't have a definition. Just enjoy the ride, baby. Enjoy four game winning streak to end
I refuse to follow the football team who says that our overlying philosophy is Dadaism. There has to be something here.
Nope.
We're taking a break and we're going on to the mailbag. I know we haven't talked about Eric Ebron yet, but we've got a mailbag question here about Ebron. So we're going to talk about that. And people got mad at me. So we're talking about that. Jeremy, do we have any reviews that we're going to have, or are we good?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, the threats are over, so we don't have to worry about that. But we're taking the break either way. Mailbag coming up.
What are you talking about? Communism is always a threat.
Mail time, hashtag AskPOD. As always, we get to every question we can, and I stand by every last word I said last week. And we have a question here off the bat that I will get to in a second. Mad at me, but first, Jeremy, the reviews. We hit 100 on iTunes, so we are no longer under threat of wrestling talk by a timer. But I'm just going to say right now, Jeremy, just give us the review.
All right. We got a bunch from Canada that don't show up on the normal iTunes, so I'm going to hit our Canadian folks. We have one more Canadian review that I won't get to today. We'll get to next week, but it's
well, first up, before that, shout out to the Grey Cup winners.
No, not at all.
Shania Twain had a better halftime show than the last five Super Bowls.
That that can't possibly be true.
I think that's good. Totally plausible.
I mean, it's Shania Twain with some of the best damn songs. B, it was in the snow and she came out on a dog sled. And was then escorted up by Mounties.
I feel like a woman. Bum, bum. That's Shania Twain, isn't it?
Yes.
All
right. Sure. Our first Canadian review comes from Bigger 93.
We cannot have you disrespecting Shania Twain.
Oh my God, are you still talking about the CFL?
No, he's talking. He's not. No, please, Jeremy, let me correct you. He's not talking about the CFL. He's talking about the halftime entertainment at the CFL championship game.
I'm talking about Queen Shania Twain.
I'm sorry. If it's not Alanis Morissette, I don't want anything to do with it.
I'm so offended right now. Jeremy, I hate when you speak.
We were just on the same team, Ryan. What happened?
You said Alanis Morissette.
Isn't it ironic? Anyways, Bigger 93, 5 stars, says, go Lions. Always enjoyable to listen to. Good knowledge on the team and good insight. Thank you, Bigger 93. Second Canadian review comes from not a wrestling fan. He says, good job. You have gotten a review due to your threat. But for real, great work, guys. I also have a suggestion. You guys should do offensive and defensive players of the week and most improved player of the week. Keep up the goodness.
I think that
not
Chris
a bad idea.
Yeah, Chris, you should write that down somewhere, like on a sticky note.
Write down what?
And the next review.
We're not going to get to the other review, but we are going to get to our friend Tara Branford, who left us our 100th review, and I promised if she emailed us, we would shout out something for her, and she did, and she sent us an even nicer email, which I shared with the staff. I'm not going to share it with everybody, but she wants to promote one of her friend's YouTube accounts called Mischief of Mice, which is a gaming tag-along type thing,
yeah.
A gaming channel where they talk a lot about Minecraft. If you're really into Minecraft, there's a lot of Minecraft tutorials. It's really professionally done, and if I were into that sort of thing, that seems like a very good resource. Mischief of Mice. I think they have over like 12,000 subscribers, so they're definitely legit.
Yeah, yes. And I mean, like, if you're a parent right now too, I mean, like, your kid's probably playing Minecraft, so you should probably get hip to it and figure out all the cool things that you can show your kids and blow their minds with.
And we've reviewed this to make sure that this is actually like a safe channel and not one of those like weird YouTube channels that have been coming up in the news that are like terrifying. No, this is legitimate. This is good. Shout out to Mischief of Mice.
Mischief of Mice.
Mischief of Mice. I should play Minecraft again. It's been a minute. Anyway, we spent 4 minutes on this, so we should probably get on to some questions.
Yeah.
Before we do, I hate to drag this out a little further, but we also need to shout out one more person. So a couple weeks ago, I was doing my finals. As some people may know, I am working on my master's of journalism at the University of Southern California. And one of the people who we have a media center there where we do a lot of work. One of the people who works in there came up to me. She tutors for writing for television in there. And she told me that she apparently had a friend, someone who not only comments on Pride of Detroit, but also listens to the podcast. I only know the name Steve, and I believe their handle on SB Nation is something like Run Low Fast. Does that make sense to you guys? I don't read the site.
It sounds familiar-ish.
Yeah. So either way, somehow Steve recognized me. Yeah, like just recognized that I was a student at USC and asked her about it. And absolutely, yes, she asked me if I was the same one or if I ran a podcast. Either way, the answer is yes. Shout out to Steve. There. Now let's get to the questions. We've dicked around here too long. We're going to start with the person who was mad at me. Ask POD from Blake Berry. Will Chris Perfett get mad if I ask a all caps football question on a all caps football podcast after a all caps football game? #salty. The answer is yes.
It's okay, because Blake Berry was badgering me during the game, saying, are we going to fire Caldwell after this game? I'm like, we're not going to lose this game. He's like, I'll wait and see. And then I gave him a little waving hand emoji after the game.
I'm not trying to drag him. The answer is yes.
I'm not either.
My big problem is that I spend 50 minutes talking about this team. And after some painful games, even wins like this, the last thing I want to do is keep thinking about this team. But we do have a Lions question coming up. What do you got, Ryan?
I want to say, Lions fans, we know pain. But imagine being Eagles fans tonight.
Hold up. I really need to get some more questions. But you cannot convince me that you are feeling remorse or sympathy or empathy for Eagles fans after what I've known has been happening to your Twitter account for the past 2-3 weeks. You are not feeling a shred of sympathy for Eagles fans.
I mean, I just want to see Alshon Jeffrey make Nick Foles into a better quarterback. That's all.
God damn, you're savage. All right, the questions. Ben Peterson, what are the Ebron numbers? Okay, this is a bad question. I'll do it anyway. What are the Ebron numbers before being a father and after being a father? It seems like dad has been going to work.
I think we brought this up last week on the podcast, didn't we?
Or maybe not last week. I think we've talked about it at some point.
Oh, no. Jeremy and I talked about it in the post Facebook Live for last week's game against the Ravens about babies. And about how all Lions players should have babies because then they play better. Like, look at Stafford. He has the twins. Starts playing better football. Eric Ebron has a baby. Starts playing better football. I can't wait to see what happens when Golden Tate has kids. If Sam Martin doesn't have any kids yet, you think that he's punt god now?
This is turning very creepily into like the Catholic Church or something. I'm not sure where we're going.
Ezekiel Ansah needs to impregnate someone real quick.
Okay, this is taking a dark turn. Let's get on to the next question. Holy God.
Don Muehlbeck probably has like 13 kids.
Okay, Ty, from Finch Ty, what would be the worst letter to eat? So as you know, was it Akeem Spence who ate the W?
It was, yep. Against his former team? That's a great question.
I think Z is probably... Actually, let me think on this. Why don't one of you guys figure this out? This sounds like a question from the Phantom Toll Booth.
I think a capital Q would be tough because you'd be tempted to put the whole thing in your mouth, but that pointy out thing would like either it would stick out in one of your cheeks while you're trying to chew or it would like stick out of your mouth.
Pause.
It'd look very unsavory.
Pause. I mean, I know Jeremy, you're probably thinking about the Q as a pastry, and in terms of how you would attack it with your mouth, but this show is PG, so let's keep it that way.
It's absolutely not PG.
I would rather not ever eat an L.
Okay.
I had no answer for this. I was originally going to say Z, maybe A instead. I'm not a big fan of eating A, but
how would you eat a B?
Very carefully.
Yes.
Very. I knew where it's going. Okay, Suzanne. I can't say this last name. Bakoshi. Whatever.
Not a visual medium. I don't know.
What are my chances that a non-Lions football question gets addressed in your podcast versus asking a Lions question? On that note, Velveeta or real cheddar cheese for nachos?
People are really getting on you about this. I love it.
People are listening, so that's something.
Well, here's the thing, too. The mailbag is infinitely better when we like barely talk about Lions football or we talk about Lions football in a very... very weird way.
And here I was, I completely forgot the whole reason I read that Ebron question to begin with was because I wanted to actually bring up that Ebron got like a lot of good targets today. And we just completely forgot about it because we just wanted to get to these fun things.
Derrick yeah. Brown had his best career year. Okay, we got it out of the way.
His yeah, career yeah. year, yeah. yes.
Career year. I'm not really a big fan of Velveeta cheese on anything other than Velveeta shells, so I don't want it on my nachos. Give me regular cheddar.
Why would you even eat the Velveeta shells? Those Kraft ones. Kraft beat them at their own game for those like liquid mac and cheese things, stovetop.
Definitely.
I wouldn't even do real cheddar. Just get yourself some queso.
Yeah, queso's bomb.
Yeah, queso is bomb. But I mean, are you expecting me to like make the queso, or like just get pre-made stuff?
No, most stores now have Mexican queso. Not hard to
do. You know what's really good that I just had within like the past like 6 months? Mexicali dip.
Mmm. That is good.
Do they have that out in California?
I don't know what it is, to be honest. What's Mexicali dip? Does it have guac? It probably has some guac in it.
To be completely honest, I have no idea what's in it. It's kind of like a... The stuff that I had was kind of like a salmon-y color.
Like a bean dip type look to it.
Kind of, but it was more like creamy. It was like cream-based. I don't know. Mexicali dip, though. Shout out Mexicali dip.
Mexicali dip, sure. All right, Ryan Collins, Shafty Von Hack. Who on the Lions roster would have the best chance of winning RuPaul's Drag Race?
Oh, boy. This is a trap.
Yeah, this is a trap, and I can spot it from a mile away. So
that's bait.
I plead the fifth.
Next Whoever question. Commits the most.
Cruz Josh Cruz. If the Lions retain Caldwell, what is suitable to burn? Jerseys, couch, house?
Watches. Burn your watches.
You can't burn melt, a watch.
Melt them down. Use them to form little pebbles that you can throw at Ford Field and not do any damage to it, but just like be a general nuisance.
Kevin,
you can burn whatever the hell you want. Just don't record it and put it online and act like you're some hero. Just don't do that. Don't be that guy.
Hey, don't burn a jersey. Jersey burning is really fucking lame. Don't burn a couch because couches are supposed to be burned in ecstasy, in happiness, as I've learned from West Virginia and Michigan State. You're not supposed to burn a couch when you're mad. You're supposed to burn them when you've won something. Burning your house just seems like a really bad idea unless you're trying to collect on insurance or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you got a good insurance on it, go for it.
That's fraud,
don't
brother.
Say that you got the idea from us.
Or that you might want to delete the question.
Hey, I just thought about this, though. I think I'm going to ask my family for a Lions jersey with Caldwell on the back of it, because wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be a waste of money.
This is so ridiculous. Like, I don't know. Like, if you're going to burn jerseys Caldwell's getting fired, like, imagine if someone had a Caldwell jersey.
Imagine if someone maybe wore okay, so full disclosure, my dad, back when I was still using Lemieux as, like, my last name, my dad got me a custom Red Wings jersey with Lemieux on the back. I have a better chance of wearing that jersey to a Red Wings game than someone does wearing a Lions jersey with the name Caldwell on the back.
I'm getting a Salute to Service Caldwell jersey.
Well, they've got to respect you.
I salute his service, and you have to respect me. I'm wearing the colors.
By the time Jim Caldwell gets fired, just say, oh, I got this back when Andre Caldwell was on the team.
Yeah, I'll have it be number one.
The first and only person to be getting a jersey for Andre Caldwell. Okay. Related. Troy Kilgore's got two questions for us, and I want to read both. First, related, what is your favorite piece of Lions gear / memorabilia?
Mine's easy. Real easy. We do. I mean, we're currently in the midst of our second annual Secret Stafford, but in the first round of Secret Stafford, I was lucky enough to have Andrew Cotto as my Secret Stafford. He got me an autographed picture of Sam Martin. So that's definitely numero uno, number one with a bullet.
I have like a key on my keychain that's like fashioned. It's got like the Lions logo stamped on it. I don't know what the key is for anymore. My other answer might be a Secret Stafford as well. The flask that Ryan got me that has number one Lions fan with an asterisk next to it.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome, buddy.
I have a bunch of Barry Sanders stuff that I like.
The
I don't
answer
have
for Jeremy, up. The answer for Jeremy is the burned remains of the Jared Davis jersey.
You just said don't burn jerseys.
In this case, it's warranted.
I got this pretty cool Barry Sanders, like, I don't want to say action figure because that seems childish, but...
It's an action figure. Don't say a collectible.
Figurine.
Don't be one of these adults who gets toys.
I got a Barry Sanders doll.
Kevin asks us, should I try to instill my Lions fandom into my soon-to-be-born daughter, or should her mom and I let her to be free to choose her own team? We live in D.C., but we are from Michigan.
Don't let her become a Washington fan, first and foremost. Through that entire organization.
I can agree with that. Don't let her become a Ravens fan either, because, I mean, really, they're just who the Browns should be right now. But
who do you want? Who cares?
I mean, what if she doesn't even like football? And I know that you'd probably be fine with that.
Let her figure out her own. I don't know, man. Like, there's something fun when you're growing up when it's, like, the local team. At the same time, two DC sports can go eat a dick.
Nah, give her, have her teach. Oh my god, I can't talk right now. Let her know what adversity is like. Make her a Lions fan. Toughens them up.
I'm sick of adversity.
Aaron Thompson, who would win in a strongman competition? Anthony Zettel, A'shaun Robinson, or Quandre Diggs?
Quandre Diggs has strength that nobody can see.
He's got strength,
right, but he needs like a 30-yard run, like to take him into it with his momentum. If we're just talking like, I don't know, what is a strongman competition? Is it like those things that they used to have on ESPN where people are like lifting those Africa shaped weights?
They still have those on ESPN.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in forever.
They do. They're always on like at really like obnoxious times of the day too, though.
It's always ESPN too. Just wait for the MLB All-Star break. They'll be on.
Yeah, that's like 6 months away.
I know, but I'm just saying that's usually when those are, because there's like nothing on for sports.
Oh yeah, no, that's true. But I mean, for being honest, it's probably A'shaun, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like Zettel's probably got good shoulders, but I'm going to take A'shaun every day.
You know what? Zettel, hit a quarterback. make a quarterback at least like think that he needs to hurry up before I even consider you for anything.
All you have to do to stop Zettel is just like do a flight fake to any direction and he'll just fly in that direction.
Look, man, trees don't move.
Yeah, that's why he's good at hitting them.
The main man, each of you give me one positive thing about the Lions. I need something to balance out all this doom and gloom.
Lions are winning the division, baby!
This call is being recorded.
Hi again, folks. So PODcast just had its out. You listen to the outro music and everything. But we need to come back here for about 5 minutes to offer some advice to Jacksonville right now. Trust us, as a town known for our malice and our fans, the last thing you want to do to a very, very angry sportsman, especially one as big as Quentin Jackson, is not to throw your beer or your food at him. Ryan, do you have any more advice for the people in Jacksonville? Just, again, speaking as one who would have a lot of experience with players trying to climb into the stands and literally fight you.
Look, it's never a good idea to throw nachos. I mean, we definitely should have addressed this question when we were talking about what kind of cheese you put on your nachos.
I didn't even think about that.
Big time missed opportunity, but yeah, you should never, ever, ever throw anything at any players at any time, especially a guy like Quentin Jefferson, who's 6'4", 295 pounds.
He's a defensive end. Imagine if he had been like a wide receiver or a running back and was like about, 60 pounds lighter. He would have scaled that fence. He would have gotten up there and he would have hit you in the face and it would still hurt.
He probably would have gotten up there if there weren't guys holding him back.
Yeah, that is true. He probably would have got there if there weren't four security guards holding onto his shoulder pads. But like the thing
by all means, like I know that for many NFL fans, you kind of see the players as villains for whatever goddamn stupid reason you have in your head. But rest assured, they will try to climb in the stands and fight you. They are not above doing that.
Yeah, I mean, do you really think and especially the Seattle Seahawks, you think they're like a super disciplined team? Like I can only imagine the type of shit that Pete Carroll says to those guys before they take the field with the way that they play.
I'm just saying, like, again, we in Detroit are speaking from experience on this subject.
Yeah, also
you think you're safe up in the stands, you're not.
This makes me so much less of a fan of Jacksonville as if I had any kind of rooting interest for them anymore, even though they, are the team that had my all-time favorite quarterback play for them. I'm all the way out on Jacksonville. I can't wait to see their team just burn.
No, I mean, it's fine. I'm just saying I'm trying to give some good advice here to the people of Jacksonville. I know you don't get a lot of advice in your life, but this is a really big one. Just again, that wall between you and the players exists for a reason, but rest assured when you do something like throw food or beverage across that line, they're allowed to reciprocate, and buddy, they will reciprocate.
Right. And I think they're lucky too, because like the Malice at the Palace, that happened like center stage. Everyone saw it because it was right in the middle of the court, right in front of both benches. If that, what happened in Seattle happened, right at the Seahawks bench, it didn't. It happened near the tunnel.
Oh my God, everyone. Yeah.
70% of the team would have ran up and tried to go into the stands had they seen that.
I mean, literally everyone nailed it. Literally everyone except Russell Wilson would have gotten up in those stands and fought you. Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd. IamBrianSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I Am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.